Well, I think, yeah, I think it's time to roll. I think it's 7 o'clock. If everybody's ready, we can get the show on the road. I don't intend to keep you here longer than I need to. Probably got busy nights ahead or something. Thanks for coming. Glad you're here. We're going to talk through some different things before we do. I'd just like to pray to get us started. So if you want coffee, there's some back there. Father, thanks for this night. It's time to be together. We're thankful for your church and that we get to be part of it. And thank you for calling us here. To this church, Living Hope. I'm just excited to love and serve you. Excited for what you're doing. And as we kind of talk through more of the details of what that looks like, just help us to rejoice in the things that have happened. Help us to learn from the things that have happened and to be excited about what you're going to do in the future. Give us wisdom as we talk. And we're just thankful tonight, God. Be here and be amongst us, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the way this will be the first, since I've been here, the first kind of annual church meeting that we've had, which the way these primarily function is that we go kind of over what's happened in the last year at the church, and you get to see, which at any time, if you ever want to see financial information or balance sheets, or right, you're looking at a P&L versus the budget, those are accessible to you whenever you want. I have copies in my office. If you want to see one at any time during the year, you have every right to take a peek at it. So we do give you the information on the back of your bulletin now, at least. Giving wise where we're at. But this information is available to you at any time if you'd like to see it. I'm going to summarize the first part of my report to you before I actually read the specifics. So you know, most, I think all of you, I believe, have been here. And I'm wearing this microphone, sorry, so that people that aren't here, if they want to listen, I'll put it on the website and they can listen to it. So, if you've been here for a while, which I think all of you have, you know this last year was a transition year. With Pastor Dale resigning, and then Maria and I coming in August, in late August. And so it was an interesting year. In any year in church where you kind of have a pastoral transition, I think especially in a smaller church, that can be pretty challenging, just because it is a challenging time. It's a tough time to transition that way. And so I'm thankful for what God's done in that process. Typically, that can be a time when churches can really collapse. It just kind of happens, especially when you transition over summer and all that stuff. So there were some, if you've been here, there were some people that decided in that transition time that was a good time to transition as well. And so quite a few people did leave our church before I even got here. But God has brought new people in. And there's been new people showing up, and we actually are getting really close to being back to the same point we were last year at this point this year. I'm thankful. I'm excited about that. We're committed, at least I'm committed, and I think our board is committed to making this a place where people find and come to relationship with Christ, and where they grow in that relationship, and where in the process of growing in that, they're also starting to make an impact in their community and in our world. And so I'm just, as I look over the last year, I think it was challenging for our church, but it's also been a very good thing in the long run. And actually, you'll know this as of next week, but I'll give you a little heads up. I told our board already, but Daryl and Marilyn are actually going to be coming back this next Sunday for good, which I think is exciting. I think it's a good thing. They've been real careful about that. They've been real cautious with me. We've had lots of conversations over coffee, and they are very hesitant, not want to step in and have anyone feel like that's awkward. It's not for us. We've had plenty of conversations about it. They've been very awesome about the whole process. They've been in prayer about it, and we all kind of feel like God will lead them to come back now. So just for you to know, they'll be back this next Sunday. You can welcome them and be excited about that. I think it's going to be cool. I'll say this on Sunday, but I think a very rare thing that's going to happen for us as a church is that you all know Doug, who's fantastic, but having been here and started this church for 15 or 16 years that you were here, March, I think, something like that, originally. 76 for how long? Like 16 years? Yeah. Okay, yeah, so they were here for a while, right? And then they left. There was only a couple years before the church closed. And then the church reopened with Daryl and Marilyn. So when they come back, you'll have the two men who pretty much have led this church for 95% of its life. Which I think is awesome. That doesn't happen often in churches because pastors transition to other places. And so to have that resource in my mind is awesome for a church. So I'm excited about that. I just want you to know that. And you can read this next week. At least they said they're coming next week. I assume they actually did. So I'll summarize my report now as we kind of go through. This is just my way of expressing to you in kind of bullet points some things that happened at least since I've been here in the course of the year of the church. We saw six people this year come to a relationship with Christ. I think that's fantastic. I think that's awesome. That would be like 10% of our average, which is really a lot. Take a church of 2,000 and say the same thing. You know, see 200 people. That's a lot of people. So it's a good thing. We saw four people take the step of baptism. We have quite a few interested in doing that this last Sunday. Just turned out not to be a good one for baptism in our church. But we had four who did in last year. We averaged 61. It's kind of, I don't know if you've been around church culture a long time, but the easiest way to measure size of church or whatever, or regularity, is just to look at, hey guys, is just to measure Sunday morning attendance. So we averaged 61 if you look at the year before. We averaged 73. So we were, in the course of the year now, that does factor in that transition time between Daryl and I and all that kind of stuff that happened in there, which does bring that number down quite a bit. So we're pretty close at this point to being back on target. We restarted life groups in this last year based around sermon series, and we had around 35 people involved in that, which that would be at least half, if not over half, of our attendance, which is really, really good to get that many people involved. I was excited about that. Trying to do preaching messages that give us series so that we can have an easier way to invite friends as well as a chance to have discussions in life groups. That's why we're kind of leaning that way with those things. We transitioned to music quite a bit this year, obviously with everybody that was involved in leading music, pretty much most of them gone now. Especially the instrumentalists, we kind of opened some doors for us to do something different, and we've done that. I've been excited that there's been some more people plugging into that lately. I think that's a really good thing. We have a couple people who have kind of been refining their faith in that process, and I think that's a fantastic thing too. We did some work in the sanctuary, we did some remodeling and things up here, which I think is great. There's going to be some more things we need to do as we look to the next year. We did upgrade our sound and video system this year, which allows us to use the video elements and other things we couldn't exactly do before. We're in the middle of remodeling the parsonage, which I've mentioned a couple times. It's not quite done. It was in need of some work, and we're making that happen slowly. Transitioned our kids' ministry program to a different program this year. Some really cool videos and stuff, and from everything I hear from kids, they like it a lot. And teachers do too, so you hear more from Aaron from that in a little bit. I think that's essential for our church. Super important as we bring and have new people showing up to have something for their children that they can connect with and a place for them to grow in their faith. I think we just simply can't grow if we don't have it. Other events and activities this last year, which just were of note, we got our Thanksgiving outreach, trunk or treat, community service events, women's retreat, Christmas Storm Exchange, we had some work days, we had some Doug Sunday Morning Bible study. Pretty much the whole year we had marriage date night, we started our Discover classes, foundation classes. We have a new website since I got here. We've got some new people. So there's been quite a few things. I think I've only been here 8 months. We were just calculating before I started the meeting tonight. And so I feel like in those 8 months, I feel very privileged and honored to see what God's done in our midst in that time. It hasn't been a long time, but I'm excited to see what he's going to do in the future. I definitely am hopeful that we will continue to see people who are far from God draw close to him and continue to grow in our church. I think there are people all around our church in this community who need to know Jesus, and our church needs to be about reaching them, and our church needs to provide an environment for them to connect and to grow. I don't ever want to lose sight of that. So that is a real high overview of the year, I guess, of at least my part of the year. The summer months were kind of a transition time, so all I could summarize there was that we had some meetings, and you guys interviewed me, and you voted that I could come, and then here I am. So that was kind of what happened over the summer. So that's my report. Does anybody have questions or concerns or thoughts or just things you'd like to talk through on that? Anything in there not clear or not make sense or things you've been wondering about? Okay. I'm going to let Mike and Aaron share from their perspective. Mike kind of oversees youth and he's been doing some men's ministry stuff, and so he's just going to share his perspective, just so you know where Mike's at in the process. He's actually pretty close to being licensed in the Wesleyan Church, so he'll be, when you're a licensed minister, actually I'm a licensed minister, I think Doug is an ordained minister in the Wesleyan Church, but we will both be licensed right now. Mike's a ministerial student, so in that process, he's kind of continuing to work and do homework, fun. But he's been doing youth and other stuff, so I'm going to let him share what's been happening in those areas, and then Aaron's going to share what's been happening with children downstage in the last year.
Okay, for anybody that doesn't know me,
it's okay. Just talking.
For anyone that doesn't know me, I'm Mike Zott. I have been leading youth ministry here for about 6 years now. I just put on the report a verse I like to share with the youth. A lot of youth pastors share this verse, but it really does speak to kids between 6th grade and especially high school students. We minister to high school students between 6th grade, students between 6th grade and 12th grade. And the verse is, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. And this verse, like I said, it really speaks to youth because they really want to be, the statistics for youth falling away after they leave high school is like up to over 90% now falling away from faith and falling out of church. And the way to keep them in the church is to get them involved in the church where they feel they are needed, and they are needed. And that's really the goal of my ministry, is to make sure that the youth are plugged in and are actually serving where they are important. They want to feel that they are important. So some of the 2013 highlights was Northwest Wesleyan Youth Camp. The theme of camp this year was follow. 5 students from our church made a commitment to follow Jesus Christ, which was awesome, especially since we only took like 5. So that's 100%. So we baptized 4 students from our youth group in front of the entire congregation this year. That was awesome. Teaching servant leadership principles have continued to be a theme throughout the year, and it's been, like I said, a theme throughout my ministry. Students from our youth group are taking that to heart, serving on Sunday morning praise and worship team. You see Logan up here, my son Trevor's up here, he can be. Kirsten's in town, she's usually singing up here. Children's ministry, we have Anna and other, I know Amy has been down there. We just, anytime we can find spots for the kids to serve, that's where they're at. Calais is back there in that little booth there, and if it wasn't for him being back there, we would never get the lyrics up on the screen. And when I was doing that, people were always turning around giving me dirty looks because I'm always like daydreaming somewhere, and I'm always 3 slides behind. So Clay does a great job. We also recently started a youth worship team, and they practice here during the week. They're leading worship for everybody. Overnight lock-in, we had 25 students from the high schools and middle schools show up. We had that back a couple months ago, and that was great. And we continue to try to do fun outside events. I take the kids, and we'll go do laser tag, we'll go to movies, we'll, Silverwood. We got to keep the teens want to be active, so we try to keep them active and try to come up with ideas on that. Moving forward for 2014 and 2015, and I know it's where we start our church here in May, I'll be stepping aside for youth minister over the summer. Kirsten Brazil will be taking over and leading the youth group, so please pray for her. I know the youth group is in good hands with her, but she's a ministerial student at Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Also a ministerial student. She'll be leading over the summer months. She's also going to be given a schedule probably about the 1st of June of what that schedule will be. So we may not have a youth group every Wednesday night over the summer months, but it all depends on how Kai gets her schedule together. So it's sort of leaving that up to her of how much she wants to do. But we do want to just keep the momentum going through the summer months. So when we get back into the new school year, Pastor Nate and I will sit down and we will discuss the direction of the youth group for the next school year and who's going to lead that and how that's going to go. I do not know what that is at this point, so pray for us and pray for the youth group of where we're going to go next. But I know it's in God's hands, and I know that He has a plan for our youth group in this church. So thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers, and I really appreciate it, and I know that.
Okay, children's ministries. We did start a new curriculum this year, the 252 basics, and it's very user-friendly. We're liking it. It's very computerized, and I'm still learning how to use some of those features. Not there yet, but we'll get there. And right now, the curriculum that we're using is basically for first grade through fifth grade, and what we're doing is taking the first grade curriculum and trying to, I don't want to use the word dumb it down, but it's kind of what we're doing, so it's a little bit more appropriate for the preschoolers. We still don't quite have the funds to buy the preschool curriculum yet. We're hoping and praying for that. At least by maybe next year we'll be able to afford that preschool curriculum to go along with the older kids. Because we're loving it. We're loving the 252 basics. The teachers are loving it. And we're seeing some results of it as well. And so there's some bullet points on some of the things that we did this year. We're really excited about some of the people that have joined the team. It's wonderful. But I want to tell you a little story because I think this is the best part of all. We have a little guy that is in the preschool church. And he had a doctor's appointment the other day. And at his doctor's appointment, the gal that was helping him asked him, or was asking him how his Easter went, and asked him if he had gotten a lot of candy. And she had said that Easter was, you know, that's what it's all about, you know, was the candy. And this little guy, preschool, that's five, looked at her and said, "That's not what Easter's about." And she said, "Really?" He says, "Easter's about Jesus." And it's just, this is not the first time that this little guy has you know, used what he's learned. And we've been learning in church, and he's actually at our preschool too. He's been learning about how Jesus had told the disciples to go out and tell everybody all about, you know, God and what he had done through Jesus for us. And we've talked about how they can be disciples, like just like the disciples in the Bible. They just have to go tell people about Jesus. And this little guy is doing that. So I just see this curriculum working. I see it in homes working. There's a lot of things that, you know, the parents can use at home as well. And that's kind of a pretty cool story. This same little person at the beginning of the year had said about school that, because he had a hard time going to school, he was always scared to go to school, and he separated from mom, and this year when he went to school, he had learned in church that he does not have to be afraid to go to school, because God's with him all the time. That was what we had learned in school before, or learned in Sunday school before school started. So this curriculum is working great. The teachers are doing an amazing job, and something we are really excited about. So great decision on everybody's part helping us with that. That's, you know, about all. We do have an intern that's coming that's going to be helping with Children's Ministries. I believe that is an area that he's really interested in, and I'm excited to work with him and maybe see what kind of ideas he has and get a couple other things going, like PBS this summer. So that's about it. Do you have any questions or anything?
Actually, here's a question. Sorry. I think it's PBS, what week is that normally? It's always been in July, right?
It's usually the first week in August.
Oh, in August. Okay.
But I don't believe that it will be this year. I think it's probably going to be closer to the end of July.
Okay.
Don't have dates exactly.
There's a certain wedding. Right, that possibly.
Somebody is deciding to get married, so.
Okay. Yeah, I'll echo, I think, those stories, not just about, you know, little kids, there's a lot of those as well, but just stories of people is kind of the way you can say numbers, but when you talk stories of real life, you know, when you talk individuals in our church, I can count more than I can count on my hand probably right now, who have really never been involved in church in their life, or very, 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 who are now semi to regularly involved in attending our church, or even involved in serving in our church, and I think that's a fantastic thing.
I forgot to say who it was. Can I say who it was? It was Gage. That cute little guy is just being a little disciple. I love it.
So I'm just encouraged by those reports. I do want to look over two financial reports with you as well, both last year's as well as the budget for the coming year. And this might be slightly painstaking, but we'll go through most of the lines here so that we can clear up any confusion about any particular area. So the sheet that's labeled profit and loss, budget versus actual, technically as a church we don't have profit or loss. We're not a business, but it's the easiest way for folks to track stuff. So you could read tithes and offerings and expenses if you wanted. That's kind of the way it works in a church. So income, if you go down the income lines, this is for the entire year. We had budgeted some amount of money to come in for construction to the building, which was not something that happened in the course of the year. So you'll see that's a $2,700 under. The FM Global Partners line is money that's given by people in our church for missionaries through the church. So that's all money that you'll see paid out later on a different line of the expenses. But it's given specifically for missionaries. General income is our tithes and offerings. So we actually were fairly close this year, which, given the nature of the transition and all the challenge in that, is really pretty remarkable. So that's a good thing. House rental income is the parsonage we used to rent out, and so that's the money we've received over the course of the year up until the point we stopped renting it in rental income. So the reason we are under budget and didn't receive all the money is we stopped renting it. Otherwise, we would have. We just received small amounts of money on a couple other things you can see. So that brings our total to 92.2. We were looking at 96.6, so we're about 4,300 overall that we're under on our income this year from what we budgeted. Expenses. Advertising, that would just be things that we would do externally to advertise our church. I got some free advertising online this year, so we didn't use any of that. If you saw our ad on Facebook in the Christmas New Year season a lot, that's probably why. We got some free Facebook ads with our website. So. Audiovisual equipment, when I mentioned in my report that we upgraded the sound, video, computer, soundboard, sound system, that's what that line is. That paid for all those different things together. That was an expense approved by the board October, probably somewhere in that neighborhood. Bank service charges. There's a couple of things in there. The biggest one is the transition to online giving. There was some stuff involved in setting that up, but the most of it comes from people who are giving money to our church online. Some of those that are giving significantly don't even go to our church, which is interesting, but it's just the way it is, because they can give online from wherever they are, but you have to pay a certain amount of fee when those people pay. So that's where most of those charges come from. In the future, this is a line that, as we talk as a church, probably you'll just see continue to increase. I've heard from a couple pastors of quite larger churches where they say in the neighborhood of 60% of their people are now giving online their tithes and offerings. So if you figured 60% of our income was coming in online via e-check or debit card, which those are lower rates, but if you use your credit card, then the rate goes up. So it's that's just a line in the reality of today's world that's just going to happen. The benefit far outweighs the cost, I guess is what I would say. Because I don't write checks anymore. Maybe some of you got it. I never write a check. Some of you, even some of you in this room, actually use your online banking to send a check to the church, which that's great too. So feel free to do that. Benevolence, flowers, and gifts, those are things we send to people when they're in the hospital or sick. Bookkeeping. Transition was made in November-ish is when we started to hire for a very discounted rate Donna Mooney to do our bookkeeping from this point forward. So we pay her $200 a month as an independent contractor, not an employee of the church or anything, to do all the bookkeeping for the church, which is how we ended up being on QuickBooks and have quite a bit quicker access to a lot of her stuff. So she's very good. She's very quick and efficient. I appreciate her quite a bit. Bus expense is anything we can pay for the actual bus out here. If we have repairs or if we need to fix something or oil change or gas, I think for the bus, all that stuff is gone in that bus expense line. Computer internet expenses, those would be anything we need for computers, anything that we need to get online, our internet charges, our website actually might even be in there, our hosting charges. which some of these things we didn't exactly know what line to put them in the budget as we transitioned. Some of the reason this is going to look funny is we transitioned from one program to another in the middle of the year. So we tried to transition all of our numbers over, but it wasn't as easy as we'd hoped. The first program we're working with was quite difficult to work with. So we did the best we could with the construction. District conference delegate, that's for going to district conference. I think we did spend some money there, so I don't exactly know why it's not in that line, but out of 250. District general church budget, that would be the money. We're a Wesleyan church, and because of that, we pay a portion of our tithes and offerings to the district. That goes to fund the district level as well as the general church, but also a large portion of it goes to church planting. It goes to some missions involvement, and it also goes to students involved in our Wesleyan schools as scholarships. So some of that money would have gone to those purposes, some would have gone to the church. We paid 10.25% of our tithes and offerings on that line, which is significantly lower. When we moved from the Old Northwest to the New Northwest District, our rate actually went down. I think it was about 1.5%, because our new district doesn't require as much money to run the district, basically. So we save some money. Next year, this is just a note ahead of time, because of some transition that's happened, we won't have to pay that at all next year. So next year you'll see that budget line be zero, which is awesome. But that's what it was for this year. We're under budget because of the transition to the district. District pastors retreat, we just had something mislabeled there. If you go to the next page a little further down, you'll see one called, is it under P, pastors retreat somewhere? Yeah. Well, you see a 500, it's at the bottom of the same page. So 517.10. So we just created an extra line on accident there. So district pastor retreat, the same thing. Pretty close to on budget. And actually, there's a credit coming that'll take it over. This works. Facility upgrade, those are things we did to improve the actual physical building, including the stuff we did in here and some things that happened. There was some expense before we got here. Facility upgrade grounds, we didn't spend any there. Fellowship, there's some money that was spent out of there, but some of that money got put in other places. So, as well as some people have donated things. For instance, the Myers have been awesome about providing donuts and a whole bunch of other that kind of stuff that probably would fall under lines like that, but individuals have stepped up to help. As well as a lot of our supplies have gone under the supply line, cups and those kind of things, and they might have previously gone under that line. Where am I at? I just lost my place. Global Partners. Global Partners is the line where we pay our missionaries. So you'll see we're $1,400 over budget, but if you'll notice, that is less than the amount that we received in income, specifically for missionaries. And that's usually the goal, is that we have spent all the money they've given us, plus whatever the church has budgeted in addition to that. So we're well within what it was that we had planned to spend on our missionaries and giving to them. The Global Partners, the 5989, and then the budget of 4,500. So the 4,500 is what the church, within our budget of our tithes and offerings, planned to spend. In addition to that, we received from individuals $1,725 extra dollars that is meant to go to missionaries. So we actually, with those contributions, spent a little less than we budgeted over the course of the year. It's a weird thing, kind of to counterbalance those 2 months. But. Kitchen supplies, just things we need for downstairs. See if we came in under budget on that. Insurance expense actually went down this year, which is odd to me, but it happened, so we're under budget on that one. Janitorial supplies, things we need for cleaning. Maintenance lines are all things that we would do to have upkeep. Some of these included, I know we did some work on the furnace. We did lighting for the exterior so that it actually works again. We had some lights outside. We replaced them with LED bulbs, so we don't have to worry about doing it again for the next 15 years. That's going away. We'll see if that actually happens. But some of those maintenance things for the church and the grounds and the parsonage, those are all lines where we basically improved things. Yep. Marriage night was, if you attended that, that was just an event we held for marriage stuff. That was pretty awesome. Media equipment. I'm trying to think of what's in that line. I should know this. Oh, I think some of the purchases we made for computers and things ended up in there. They purchased me a computer when I arrived as a part of kind of we had a really old computer, and so when I came, instead of like to have one, I can't make graphics and videos and things on my computer for our services. So I do, when you get these cards and all these kind of things, or we watch videos on Sunday, I make all of those on my computer Ministry adult, that's anything we need for like Sunday school or that kind of stuff. Ministry board for the various things that we expense out for board meetings. Children's ministries, which that line's over, and some of that's the transition in what we decided to do this year in investing in the children's ministry. So that's the cost of the programming itself, as well as some additional resources and videos and those kind of things. We budgeted a little better for that in the coming year. Outreach, the events that we do targeted toward outreach. So there's some money in there that we contributed to Trunk or Treat, not a lot, but a little bit, and then some, quite a bit for the Thanksgiving outreach and some others. Women's ministry money, most of that I think was also given prior to the beginning of the fiscal year, and that's money expended for different women's events. Youth ministry, it looks like a huge number, but there was money sitting in the youth account for fundraisers from the prior year, and so they were spending money that was in an account that was set up for camp and other purposes, and so that's why the line was so over. So you'll see that actually ends up being reduced on our balance sheet. Music books, CDs, lines where we buy things basically for the church, office supplies, meals, those are times when I take someone out for coffee or lunch or whatever and have conversations with them about all sorts of fantastic things. Pastor's expenses, this is a, if you look at the pastor's expense line, the pastor's health insurance line, pastor's housing allowance line, pension line, those lines sort of make up pastoral compensation. Pastor compensation gets broke down into different categories, and so when you see pastor expenses, what that means is I can designate a certain part of what I spend as expenses relating to business. So my gas mileage to certain places to events, or if I buy something for the church for my office, or if those kind of things where I'm spending money for the church of my own, then I can get reimbursed and I don't get taxed on it. So it gets classified as an expense so that I don't get taxed. That's all that really means. Pastor gift, I think those are gifts. Doug could probably answer that better because I'm not in those discussions with the board of as to where those monies get spent. But I would imagine those are gifts given to either Daryl or out of the course of the year. Health insurance is what we get reimbursed. Basically, I have my own health policy that is reimbursed through the church to pay for the premium. Housing allowance is the portion of my salary that's designated housing allowance. Again, it's a tax benefit to me as a pastor to have that designated, not salary, but designated housing allowance, particular to pastoral roles. Intern, that line is actually the money that was spent to have Maria and I fly out and candidate, and then whatever other expenses were incurred in that process of having someone candidate to be the new pastor. So basically, that's what you paid for the search process, essentially. Moving expenses, I capped our moving expenses at $2,000 because I thought that's all we could afford. We spent a little more, but we covered it, and I wrote it off as an expense. So that was the money the church reimbursed us for moving out here, basically. Renting a truck, gas mileage, all that fun stuff. Pension is the money paid for my pension based on salary determined by the board. Pulpit supplies, it actually was meant to be pulpit supply, meaning someone who fills the role of pulpit, but in the process of transitioning books, it became anything we bought for use on Sunday morning, as in pulpit supplies. So when we bought different things for use on Sunday morning, like communion bread, posters for the soulship series that all ended up in that line. Pastor's retreat, I told you, jumps back up to the district pastor's retreat. Payroll taxes, just like any business, when we pay employees, which we have a few employees, we have to pay payroll taxes, so that's what those were. The wages category, you'll see we're significantly under budget on the admin line. Before Daryl and Marilyn resigned, Marilyn was doing some administrative stuff, and so she was paid a small amount every month as an administrator for the church. That's why we stopped paying that amount out. The next line, children's ministries, we decided, since Aaron was taking on a fuller-time role earlier in the year, the board decided to take Marilyn's money less a little bit and transition that to Aaron, so she received a small amount of money for the time that she was with children's ministries. The janitorial line is what we paid Cox's to do the downstairs, which they do an awesome job, so thank you guys, appreciate you. The music line used to be paid, I think, to Danetta, I believe, who was doing before I arrived, and so that budget was set up for that purpose, but then obviously we left in the transition, so that line didn't get used. Wages is actually the part of my salary that's declared actual wages. Saved you $1,100 there, folks. Come on. Be happy. Youth, that's the budget that we've set up a stipend for Mike and what he does for our church. Permits and licenses, we only have one permit. It's our business license, $14. Postage, things that we mail, whether it's letters. I've actually, a lot of times when a family is new, I'll mail out something to them, whether it's a book or some small card or something as well. So those kind of things would be postage. Printing, reproduction, some stuff. That's the church. Property tax went down a little bit, and it'll actually go down a little bit more next year, and then a little bit more the next year, because the parsonage will finally come off our tax rolls. Not for this year, but for the next year. So, and Daryl was able to negotiate a lower rate for our next year's property tax somehow, magically. So we're going to pay a little bit less next year, then the parsonage will come off, and we'll pay a little less after. Right now, we pay most of our taxes for the parsonage. Most of our church property is exempt, but because it's been a rental parsonage, we pay taxes. Once it becomes housed by the pastor, no longer taxes. So that line should continue to decrease, which is crazy to talk about property tax. Software is just programs for computers that we needed. Spokane Valley Partners is gifts we give, sort of like a missionary, to Spokane Valley Partners to help support them. Staff gifts, I believe the big item in there might have been money given to Daryl and Marilyn when they left. I'm almost positive that's what the bulk of it is. The board decided to give them like a going away present. You're here for that. And then just utilities. None of them are crazy out of whack. Our water and power is a little bit. At least based on what we budget. But other than that, we're not too far off on the utilities. We had to add in the Avista for the parsonage once we stopped renting it, as well as the Vera for the parsonage once we stopped renting it, as well as the waste management for the parsonage once we stopped renting it. So there's a couple of those bills that snuck in about halfway through the new year. So that brings our total expense to 108, showing a loss of 15.9. We had a budgeted loss of 2. So, for me, that number is not terribly bad, and I'd say that knowing it's a negative number, but the reason I say that is there were quite a few expenses over the course of the year that the board approved to be spent out of an account we have with the district. The district holds an account for us that is in, when I got here, I think was around $79,000. That money that's in that account can only be used for upgrading or remodeling, so we have to buy something new or fix something current or build. That's the only way we can use that money. So when we did the upgrade to the sound system, when we upgraded to get a TV downstairs for the kids for the new program, when we did all the remodeling to the parsonage, all of that money came out of our savings account from the district and got expended. And because we're not a business, we don't put things and disperse them out over a couple years. It's really what that's called. We don't depreciate things. We just take the value out and spend it because it doesn't advantage us tax-wise to do that. So there was somewhere in the neighborhood in the course of this last year of around $20,000, including the parsonage, that was approved to use from that line to expend for these different purposes. So when you think of that number and then see that we're only about $15,000 over budget on our expenses, we actually are pretty close to being right on if we hadn't spent any of that money. If we had done no upgrades anywhere, we actually would be right on the budget. In fact, we might even be able to pause it. Does that make sense? It'll make sense when you jump to the next report, which is the balance sheet, because you'll see that in the course of the balance sheet, which just says this is how much money we had at the beginning of the year in assets, and this is now what we have at the end of the year. You'll see if you jump down to net income under equity, which is almost at the bottom, that we're negative 14.5, meaning of our assets, we expended that much more than what we have. Most of that coming from the very first line, the district savings with line. That's the line that the district holds and which we can only use for upgrading rooms. So we still have $56,000 in that account. That's a current number as of right now. Including, actually, we had to replace the furnace at the parsonage because it went out once we started remodeling. Thankfully, Doug was smart enough to have it looked at. So it had a cracked heat exchange and some other things, but that includes that amount as well. So that just shows you kind of what our current assets are. In addition, not this on here, but the value of our land. Okay, so that's the last year. I'm totally open for any questions or thoughts or concerns over that report. Now's the time.
I have a question.
Yes?
When we did youth group a while back, some of that money that we have done fundraisers for is that we're supposed to be allocated for a mission trip for youth. I know that the boys are here currently, but there was supposed to be another mission trip with the group before. kids is what we had a goal intended for. And that sort of didn't transpire, but I know some of that money probably was designated for.
You talked about the last mission too.
No, someone prior. There were supposed to be monies as well listed for like all of those guys that we had currently kind of coming to do another missions trip. There was supposed to be a second one, I thought, after some of them.
I don't remember having a budget line specifically for a missions trip for you. I know Vicky was taking care of a budget line for a missions trip for the church. I did some fundraisers for the youth that were going on a mission trip, that were going on a specific mission trip that we went down to Guatemala. That money was spent. But we didn't have any money left over specifically for mission trips for the youth. We just had everything thrown into a youth bucket, into the youth bucket for money that was spent throughout the year just on specific youth events. But I didn't do the budget line if you do that. I didn't even have one specific time for the mission.
I can shoot Vicky an email and ask her if that was something that we've lost track of in the process.
It was probably before the missions trip. You know, we had like several good auctions and we did different things. And part of that we had talked about is part of that money that came out that we allocated over for the youth going on a missions trip.
We did specific fundraisers for that went on a specific missions trip. That's all I know.
I'll get in touch with her and find out if that's something that we lost in the transition. Yeah. She's pretty good about getting back to me on that stuff. As we've had questions. I've got to write myself a note for off of it. Any other questions? Concerns, thoughts, things I didn't explain well enough?
I'm kind of dumb on this stuff. Second, grouping, other assets. How's that an asset model and pre-paid?
It's actually only there at the moment because she's keeping track of how much we've spent. So it's at the moment it's listed because it hasn't been processed into fully into the expense line and dealt with. So she has, I think Donna's trying to help us see what we've spent in certain areas. Eventually it'll just roll, all of it will finish rolling off in the expended line, which I think some of it has been, but she's been listing it there so we can keep track. I think that's what she told me. She was trying to tell me that they did
that. A lot of times what they do is they count it as a leasehold expense for all such things that's on the P&L. In other words, they just track it there until you used it and you dealt with it, give it back to the P&L. Profit loss. Equipment and audio visual equipment. One of them is a budget line item.
I don't know all the answers to that. Mostly because I didn't set the budget up. I tried to use the categories as well as we could. So the other sheet you have is the budget we set up for the next year, which should address that issue.
Will Donna seek any recoup of the prepaid property tax?
Which one?
We have a prepaid
property tax.
Once it comes off the road, we'll go after it.
I guess I don't understand the question yet. Go after it back.
We prepay property tax if it comes off the road. More than the government having money.
Right, it won't come off until I file the paperwork, and we just received the tax statement for this year, which means we'll pay one shortly. I think that's right. We'll pay another one in the fall or something like that. It's the year after this year that the parsonage will actually come off. And the prepaid tax is something she's been accumulating it as an expense every month so that we don't show it as one gigantic hit in a month. And so it accumulates until we pay it. So that is money we actually owe for property tax. Eventually we'll pay it off. I think that's how it works.
She got a bill for it.
Then she'll pay it, yeah. Yes, Bill.
You said it's 10% of our church money go up to the district. Now, the sale of property on both sides, the freeway that's widened and the street. creek was widened. Is that part of that pool that we can draw from?
That is the pool. When we sold the property, that's how we got that money, most of it, with the district. I think some other people contributed, if I remember a conversation correctly, but that's where most of that money came from.
So the 10% that goes, that's already allotted for rivers.
Right. That has nothing to do with our particular church.
Yeah.
That pays district expenses as well as, like I said, a portion of it goes to colleges, a portion of it goes to church planting. We're actually, these interns we're going to have over the summer, the district's going to pay half of their salaries for us. That's technically kind of our money coming right back to our church. So there's lots of those kind of things where the district pays money. Plus, they're a huge resource for us.
I do have a question. You said those interns are coming and working for free, so how would they get salary?
Not free.
You see your salaries.
Yeah. They'll get $2,000 for the whole summer and then live for free. So we'll pay half that and the district will pay half that.
Do we have to pay payroll taxes on it?
We don't.
Stipend.
Yep. Just a short-term intern stipend.
So if money is given to a specific ministry or a fundraiser is done, does that roll over from year to year or does it disappear? Okay.
No, it'll roll over. And then since Donna's just started with the bookkeeping, we set up either in-out accounts or when you see on your other budget sheet where it says other income, those lines would be for like fundraiser income where it's not tax deductible, but the money goes into someone's account. So that'll get tracked in that line. And if you give money to a cause that is deductible, like say you give it toward a missionary, but we have to hold it for a period of time, there would be another contribution. That'll keep track of all those in QuickBooks from now on. So those accounts will stay. They roll over. Okay, I want to quickly have a budget for the next year, just so you can see kind of how we've rearranged it. I wanted to try to make it a little bit easier to visualize everything in the church, as well as kind of group together some things. I have a couple of people, Bill Church, Aaron, and actually Mr. McDonald. They're kind of newer to our church, but he's a CPA, so he came and we kind of went through the budget and tried to put together and make sense out of it. And then it went to the board, and then we discussed it, and so this is the budget. After we went back to the budget committee that came out. So we're budgeting this year for income, tithes and offerings, 91. You'll see that's actually a little bit of an increase in tithes and offerings, but it's a decrease in our overall expectation for giving. So we're hoping to make up the difference in the parsonage, having lost that rental income this year in giving. We talked through that quite a few times, but if it doesn't happen, there's going to be some places we're just going to have to cut this year. So that's the hope. 91,000 in tithes and offerings. Missions contributions, that would be people who still give money toward a missions. If that shows up, we spend it. If it doesn't show up, we don't spend it. But we're guessing that's about what it could be for this year. And then the expenses, we started grouping in some general categories. So ministries in the church, general ministries for me or anything that we do that aren't specifically children under outreach. So if there's an adult Bible study, if there's a life group activity, if there's a marriage activity, if there's any of those kind of things that are kind of general ministries of the church, it'll go in that line. If there's a children's ministry activity, it'll go in the children's line. Youth outreach events that we do to get out in the community and interacting with people around us. And then the host line ministries are for Mike or I to take you out for coffee or whatever that works out for us to be able to have those kind of informal ministry interactions with people. Nowadays, there are a lot of those people, especially the newer people to our church. That's an easy way to get it in a good conversation. I promise I'm not using you, I'll take you out. And I even pay for those on my own fairly frequently. So that's the ministries line. The worship line, supplies, that would be everything we use on a Sunday morning. So supplies and materials, a small amount of budget for sound like video equipment, that would be anything we need to buy from cables to like the microphone breaks or yeah, that kind of stuff. Software and licenses, that's pretty much exactly the amount of money that we have to pay to show lyrics. I don't know if you know these things, but all the things are copyrighted, so you have to have a license to show lyrics. You have to have a license to show videos, that kind of stuff. So that's what those licenses cost us a year. If we grow, that license fee, I believe, goes up a little bit. So that's the total for Sunday morning like worship line.
Going back to the ministries for a moment.
Yep.
Youth.
Yep.
They went 5 times greater last year.
They did.
Are we cutting short this year, or are we? The problem,
The big reason was expended a lot of money they had in an account. It would be some of why they went over so much. So if they fundraise, for instance, and bring in money, then that line might show an overage again, because we would spend more money than we had allocated because money was brought in, kind of thing. So if they did, I don't know what kind of fundraiser you do, but if they made $1,000 as a fundraiser and expended all that to go to camp, that money would hit the incline, but it wouldn't be expended from our actual budget. Does that make sense?
We, as you said, our biggest expense is camp, and we had a lot of money already in the account for camp, so we didn't have to do as much fundraising over the last couple of years. This year for camp, we're going to have to do some fundraising. Which is pretty typical for youth ministry. You have to do fundraising, and I'm actually in the process of planning a fundraiser for our youth camp.
And we're just tightening some areas. So we're trying to figure out where we can do what we can do. That's a good question. Missions line broke these out into kind of three more specific areas. Benevolence for us is people on a one-to-one individual basis. If somebody comes into the church, their power's going to get shut off and we can help them, or they need some food, or whatever it is where they're face-to-face and we're helping someone. That's benevolence. Local would be actual local ministries, like you saw on the budget. On the second page at the top, I think we support Spokane Valley Partners. That's money we're giving to local nonprofit organizations that are doing ministry in our area. And then our world missions, our missionaries we've been supporting. We have 7 missionaries we've been supporting for a year, I believe. And so we support each of those right now at $700 a month. Or a year, sorry. Before a year. So that's our total missions. District, these are all expenses that relate to district events. Normally the assessment line is the one that would be 10% of our tithes and offerings. For the next year, it's going to be zero, which I'll go into some detail later about why that is. I'll explain the whole process to you. But it's zero, which I'm excited about, because that's $10,000 we don't have to spend. District conference is what I'm required to be at. We have to go and vote and be involved in that. So that's just to cover the expense of traveling. And pastor's retreat is something both Mike and I are both required to be at. And those are both also here. So those are just monies to help pay for the cost of going to those things. The maintenance line, maintenance around the church and the grounds. I didn't budget parsonage because I believe that my wife and I can take care of that. That was on the maintenance level for the year. And I didn't budget for improvements because I figured if we're going to do improvements, we're going to have to get some money for it. Or we're going to have to use them from the savings account, probably, based on our budget. So those monies I'm not planning on spending them every year. We need to do it, we just don't have the money to put anything in that line, honestly. On the back, the utilities. We budgeted a slight increase, basically, in all the utilities. That's what they shook out to. $5,000 for the church, $2,000 for the parsonage. Then I grouped. We grouped all of the pastor benefits as well as the staff benefits, which we pay into categories that are a little easier to see. The lead pastor benefits would have been numbers decided by the board. I am not the one that decides those numbers, so the board would have met. I was in that meeting, but they discussed those things. I negotiated them down because they were not being as judicious as they should have been. So that's where we ended up. So the salary, the reason the salary goes up is because I won't have a housing allowance anymore. So I will have to pay tax on that. I do also have to pay tax on the fair rental value of this parsonage. Health insurance is just the health insurance reimbursement. And the HSA, they agreed to a process where we have a very low premium for the two of us. And so they agreed to put $100 a month in an HSA, basically to help pay for medical expenses that are underneath our deductible. The SE tax is technically, while a pastor is an employee of the church, we're self-employed for tax purposes. So the church doesn't have to pay payroll tax on my salary, but I have to pay self-employment tax on all the money that I make. So that number equates to about half of what my self-employment tax burden is, which would equate to about the same amount of money that your employer pays for your taxes to. If that makes sense. It just gets paid to me, and I pay it to the government, because I'm self-employed. So while I see that money, it goes right out of my hands. Pension is obviously just the money for pension. The other two lines are the lines that would be salary, but if I allocate them as expense reimbursements, I don't have to pay tax on them. So vehicle mileage is one in business expense, money that we spend on church things that I spend on, basically. So that comes to that number that you see under the pension benefits. questions about how that works, I would direct, if you have questions, I'll let Doug answer them about how those numbers were reached or anything like that, as he was the chair of the board at that time. Okay. Staff benefits, these are those different lines that you saw where we had payroll wages for different people. So you have assistant pastor, that's Mike, children's ministry, Aaron, the janitorial, Chantel. The intern line, we have two interns that are coming this summer, we pay each $1,000, those get matched by the district for a total of each one getting $2,000. Basically, buy one, get one free on returns. Payroll tax expense is what we calculate that to be, not on the intern line, but on the other three lines. So the total number. And the bottom line is all of the other stuff that happens at the church. So office expenses, whether that's paper or folders or pens and pencils, whatever it would be, advertising line. I only asked for some money there to do like a couple campaigns, basically, and online advertising. It seems to be pretty effective. It's not terribly expensive. Flowers and gifts for those people that are sick in the hospital. Family. The auto bus expense line is, again, mostly for our bus out there. Something happens. Our insurance line. Insurance that the church has, supplies being all the things we need to clean the church, or if we need cups, or all the kind of stuff. We grouped all those together in one sort of supplies line. Bank charges, that's what I was talking about with online giving. Bookkeeping, that's what we've been paying down through the books. And then there was a little bit of money in an emergency fund. It's not much, but it's undesignated in case something comes up, which so that's how we tried to organize the budget for the next year. Hopefully it made a little more sense and looks a little easier to comprehend than what we had set up before. Questions on that? Yes, sir.
Two things. I think one thing that we should note that, like the cleaning of the church, we have a family that is volunteering to take care of that. I think that's really something we are really blessed with that. One other thing, I was looking at the mission. It's probably about 7% our mission total is 6,500. And I'm thinking in time it would be nice to see if we can get it up like to 10%, you know. But I think that's a goal that we should look forward to in the future. Is that a suggestion?
No, I would love to see our outgoing lines. Any questions or thoughts? Okay. So that's the budget for next year. The next thing is just kind of a